Ray's singing and playing is, it was all about feeling. Everything he did came from his heart. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's why everybody liked Ray. Even Tea Party people like Ray.
Was that a little bit different? Was that a change of pace for you?
Well, see, yeah, of course. You know, it was professional, man. You had to be there half hour before the gig, and they provided suits and a white shirt that was at the come from the cleaners. A fresh one for every show, but you were expected to bring your patent leather shoes and the color tie that they told you the night before. And I never had a problem with it, because if he asked you to do a certain thing and he's paying you to do that, I didn't have a problem with that. It's funny, too, that certain he wants the music played a certain way. That's his sound, and his sound is wonderful. If you play it the way he wants it, it sounds great. I enjoyed it. I memorized my music as quick as I could so I could just sit there and listen to him sing, and it was just amazing.
After Ray, almost right after Ray, you worked with Art Blakey.
When Ray would work from March till the second week of December, or maybe the third week, I forget, but he'd take off for the holidays, for Christmas and New Year's, and then he'd have a little hiatus until March again. But I did 1 year with him, 72. During the time I was out with Ray, Woody Shaw, the great trumpeter, had moved to San Francisco. So when I came back, Woody was living there, and he had been working with Joe Henderson and Bobby Hutcherson, who also lived there. And I heard he was in town, so I went by one of his gigs, and I ended up sitting in, and we made friends. And a couple of months later, Art Blakey came through town, and he said, "Come on, I want to introduce you to Art." And I sat in with Art, and Art asked me to join the band, and I left town with the Messengers. And we played after San Francisco. We played a week in St. Louis, a week at the Showcase in Chicago. Then we opened at the Village Gate in New York.
The opening song on your brand new album, Spirit Man, is what, a tribute to Art Blakey?
Yeah, Boo. Boo is his nickname for Buhana.
Okay. What were you trying to say with this song?
It's about swinging hard, man.
Yeah. And Art did that.
The other guys haven't played with Art, but I was trying to tap into that feeling that I got from playing with him. And it's not floating. You know, a lot of this stuff you hear today is floating. Everything floats, or it's all straight eighth notes. It wasn't about that. It's about swinging, man. Swinging hard with full energy and commitment.
The term Spirit Man for your album, there's a sounds like a Hugh Masekela story behind the title of the album.
Actually, on the last cut of the record, All Blues, The introduction where I'm playing in the piano with the shell, that melody is my melody. It's called Spirit Man. And I recorded that with the shell choir for a Verve record in the 90s. See, I just used the melody that's the introduction for All Blues. And I tried something different by playing inside the piano. Pedal down, and it gives it that sound. That's not electronics.
In your liner notes, you were relating a story that Hugh had told you when he was a young boy.
Yeah, about a musician being like a doctor.
Yeah. How is a musician like a doctor?
Because you're supposed to make people feel better. It's not about being selfish and being up there trying to do something different just to be different and play for yourself. It's about communication. The sound that's created comes from your life force. If I'm blowing a horn, the sound comes from my airstream, which is created by my body. and my spirit and my mind, which is my life force. And that's why everybody has a different sound. The energy that you put into your sound can be giving energy, it can be a selfish energy, it can be a healing energy. I know this from experience, listening to music all my life growing up, that when I hear music that to me is really magic, all of a sudden I'm in another world. I'm not thinking about this bill that I gotta pay or my girlfriend's mad at me, or whatever it is. I've actually had this happen too, to where I feel like I'm getting the flu or a cold or something, and I go play and I really play with intensity and I sweat and give it all up. And when the set's over, I feel healed. I'm not sick anymore. Just think about it. The military, of course, has taken sound in a negative way, and they've created weapons through sound that can make people throw up. Ultra-low frequency sound weapons. It can either make people sick to their stomach, or it can make them hold their ears and headaches and stuff. But if it can affect you negatively, just think it can affect you positively, too.
That's a nice lead into another song that you've got on the album. You recorded the Horace Silver song, another guy you played with over the years. You recorded Peace for this album.
I loved Horace. I knew him fairly well. We used to play Peace when I was with Woody Shaw. Now, Woody played with Horace and recorded with him on one of my favorite Horace Silver records, the Cape Verdean Blues, of course, because J.J. Johnson is on that record. And Woody played with Horace a lot, and he learned the tune from playing with Horace, and then we used to play it. So I had a special affinity for the tune, and I like what it means. I think the world needs a lot of that right now.
Well, one more question before I let you go. You've been part of the Saturday Night Live band since 1984. Do you have any fun or funny stories from over the years or a story that you could tell? Maybe something that happened backstage or an incident with a skit that was, you know, maybe didn't make it to the television, but it's a fun story to tell?
Yeah, sure. I got one that comes to mind. And this happened, I think, in the late 80s. Robin Williams was on the show. And Paul Simon was the musical guest. And we did this skit that was a takeoff on Hamlet. Paul Simon was sitting out there on the set holding his skull. And then there was this little facade, like a little room. And the Earl Gardner, the trumpet player, and myself, they gave us Herald trumpets, and I'm not really a trumpet player, but I played an octave lower, and we came out with these Herald trumpets like medieval with a real long bell, and we had to dress in a period costume with a ruffled neck and tights and all this stuff. And we were back in this room with Robin Williams on the set, and he was pacing and talking stuff. On the cue, we came out and held our trumpets up and did this little fanfare. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then Robin walks out and he just starts riffing on Paul Simon. Just, you know, he talked crazy and it was hilarious, you know. In the dress rehearsal, we were back in this little room with Robin and he was riffing on us. He was looking at us and saying stuff about us. And we were laughing, man. It was hard to... And so we get the cue, and we go out there, and we couldn't keep it together. We were still laughing from Robin, and we messed up the fanfare. We put a we messed it up. And the people were laughing because the way we messed it up. We were actually laughing when we messed it up, and the people... And then Robin came out and tore it up, you know. But Lorne Michaels, he got mad. He said, you're supposed to be serious because everybody's going to think it's going to be serious. He said, if you can't do it straight, we'll get actors and just use a pre-recorded fanfare. So on the air for the final show, we had to just look at each other and totally ignore Robin, because, you know, Robin was out of his mind, man. It was funny as hell, but we didn't mess it up on the air, but...
I'd love to see tape of that one. That would be very cool. Well, Steve Turay, thank you for sharing some stories about some of the folks you've played with over the years and your brand new album, Spirit Man. Congratulations. It's a wonderful release. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure. Mm-hmm.